Turn to Psalms 63. A little background while you're turning. David, again, is fleeing, and he's in the wilderness of Judea. And he has been used to liberty and freedom. And while he is in the wilderness, David is a hunted man. That's why he's in the wilderness. If it wasn't for that, he wouldn't be there. Wilderness, it's hard to find somebody. And that's why David has chosen the wilderness. He is fleeing for his life. He's trying to stay away from Saul and keep himself alive. So when you read this psalm, remember the background of it. Here's a man separated from friends, separated from family, separated from home, separated from worship. Bethlehem is near Jerusalem. So David in his day was acquainted, because every male had to attend at least once a year, they had to attend the great feast. So David is now cut off from all of this. Saul has spies everywhere. People that will turn him in. People that will do it just to court Saul's favor. Now, read the psalm with me with that in the back of your mind. Listen to a man as he pleads to God for God's presence. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. And then he tells of what his soul desires. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I want to preach to you on that portion. Go back with me to verse 3. You may not believe my text, and you may not believe this scripture, but I want to preach it to you anyway. I want to preach to you better than life. Better than life. Do you know anything that's better than life? Verse 3. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life. Better than life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, what is that something that can be compared to life? Life is what we call the supreme good. If we are living and we're having a good life, we think that there's nothing better than this. You know, we have found people who think that life is just that way. There's people who carry on business on the Lord's Day as though life is the greatest of all things to gain. They work on the Lord's Day. They do those things, and He will just reply to you. And when you tell Him that he should be at church or at the house of the Lord, He'll just say, you know, at this business, I just love my business. I just love it. But don't you think that if I could have a good life, that I would just work 6 days, that I'd like to have a day off. They'll tell you that in order to have life, its necessity is that you must make enough money in order to have a good life. You must tend to this must. It's more than anything else. It's the most valuable possession that a man has, is life. Then you'll find that person will go on breaking God's laws and setting a bad example, and will go on risking the judgment of God simply because he feels like it's bad business not to take care of your business. And their answer is, but you know, a man must live. You ever heard people tell you that?
Yeah.
You know, a man must live.
Yeah.
Well, that's all good if that's as far as you go. But then you don't look at the injury you do to other people when you set that kind of a bad example. And you don't understand that it offends God's people. And it offends God. And it puts a jeopardy on your own soul. For, you know, there are people who have legitimate businesses. And they will sometimes take that legitimacy of a good business and a clean business, and they too will find themselves doing things that they shouldn't have to do. But their answer is the same as the man with the bad business. A man must live, as though life and the pursuit of it is the most valuable thing a man can do, is to get out and get alive. Have you heard the world say that lately? Why don't you get alive? You heard him say that? Look at you and say, why don't you just get alive? Get one of your own. Well, what have you got when you've got it? That's when we begin to see what David is trying to tell us. He says there's something better than life. Y'all hear?
Yes, sir.
Something better than life. He calls it loving kindness. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. The first thing that you want to look at is that word, loving kindness. Loving kindness. And this is a favorite word of David. If you go to your concordance and look it up, you'll find several instances where this phrase is used. Loving kindness. But what does it mean, and how can we examine it, and how can we get to the place where we see the value that David says this loving kindness is better than life? How do we see that this loving kindness is better than life? Well, I'm glad you asked the question, because that's what I want to preach to you about today. How many know love is beautiful? Isn't it wonderful to be loved? Now, none of us can say that the word love is not beautiful, because it is. It's so beautiful that God's name is that. God is love. That's how beautiful love is. That God would take love and make it his name. God is. Not God can be, not God would be, not God could be, but God is love. Somebody say amen. God is love. And then you look at the word kindness. Kindness is beautiful. If you don't like kindness and you don't think kindness is beautiful, my, I don't know what kind of a nature you consist of. Kindness is beautiful. Kindness is beautiful. Love that is beautiful and kindness that is beautiful. You come down to when you put the two of them together. When you put it together, loving kindness. You come up with a word that David said is better than life. And I got you convinced you'd have a... Well, don't close the door on me. Leave it open for a little bit. Every salesman's got to have a chance. Because I'm going to have a hard time talking 2004 out of this busy, chaotic life that we call living. You see, a lot of us have forgot that this two words, kindness and loving, and hooking them together is like the rainbow that spans the heavens. It's God's covenant with us. It's God's kindness. It's God's love. Thy loving kindness is better than life. You can't have it without having Him. Amen. It's loving kindness that takes whether you live in a hut or a palace and transforms it into a home. Without loving kindness, you only have a residence. But when loving kindness abides, especially thy loving kindness abides, you find yourself with a home and not a residence. Praise God. I've not talked you into it yet. Well, stay with me. What would life be without kindness? None of us would love to face it if we didn't think that we would find kindness somewhere. And none of us would want to live too long in a world where we could not find love. But when we are assured that there is somebody who is loving and who is also kind, it makes us want to draw near to them. Little deeds of kindness, little words of love, make an earth a heaven like the heaven above. And that's a little bit of heaven on earth, is when you walk into loving kindness. Praise God. They may exist apart, and I think that you'll agree that they're just as beautiful separated as they are together. You see, love is the soul, and kindness is the hand. Love is the heart. Kindness is the outward and visible sign that love is the heart. Love is the inward and spiritual grace, and kindness is that wonderful manifestation of it. There may be kindness where there is no love, and there may be love where there is no kindness shown. But when you hook them together, you have perfected a beauty that cannot ever exist without these two words being married and put together. Loving kindness. How the world is missing a Christianity that doesn't have it, and a Christianity that's never experienced it. It is loving kindness. They can exist apart, but they're perfected when they come together. The perfecting is when they marry and are joined together with the word thy. Thy loving kindness. Let me give you an example. A young man far away from home falls into hard times. He gets a job that is dangerous, and on the job he falls and hurts himself and is in a critical condition. They can't get him to come to himself. He can't regain consciousness, and he lays there in the hospital, and a nurse is very observant and very kind, and she does everything that she can to keep him comfortable and to show him kindness. She changes his bandages. She sees that he's administered to. But while he is there, they send a telegram to his mother, His mother throws her little suitcase together and she gets on the most fastest way to get to the hospital. And before long, there she is. She walks into the room and she sits by the bed. He doesn't stir. And then she notices that his cloth on his head is dried out. And she takes it and goes over and she wets it and she comes back. She lays it in the precise spot that the nurse had. But all of a sudden, her hands caress his face. His eyes flutter. He opens his eyes and said, "Is that you, Mother?" There's something about kindness that the nurse could give. But then there's the loving kindness that only a mother can give. Amen. When you wed the two, they become perfection. There's nothing like the touch of loving kindness. There's nothing like the arousal of loving kindness. Is the mother better than the nurse? No, she's not as qualified as the nurse. Is the mother a different? No, she is a female just like the nurse. No, there is both soft and as easy on somebody as they can be. It's just the touch of the caress of love. And knowing that touch had been kindness all of the young man's life, it brought him stirring back to reality. It was that touch that brought you out of sin and darkness. It was realizing that God was a God of love, but He also was kind. Somebody say amen. This friendship of God. This lasting friendship of God. You see, it's loving kindness. It's loving kindness. It's the heart and the hand together. It's not just the hand being kind, but it's the heart and the hand together that makes it loving kindness. It's the heart and the hand. It's the heart and the touch. It's the heart and the kindness. You may be kind, but are you kind with loving kindness? I want you to look at these words as we think about what God has done for us and how God is helping us. It was loving kindness that brought God to your door. Do you know that? Loving kindness that brought God to your door. It was there. It was loving kindness that kept God there. When you insulted Him, when you told Him to go away, when you told God no, when you told God get lost, loving kindness kept God right there. Though you neglected Him, insulted Him, you vexed Him, you grieved Him, but it was loving kindness that follows a sinner right down to the mouth of hell itself and pleads with him every step of the way. You feel God pleading with you tonight, backslider. You feel God pleading with you tonight, cold and indifferent. You feel God's love in your heart, you blessed saint of the Lord. It's because God is loving kindness. And when you find it, your lips will praise Him. Praise God. You see, when that person turns and says, "What must I do to be saved?" It is loving kindness that flies to his help. It is loving kindness, amen, that kisses away his tears of repentance. It's loving kindness that puts a new song in his mouth. It's loving kindness that brings unto him a wardrobe and takes off his stinking, filthy rags of sin and puts on him a brand new garment. And takes away all of his past and gives him something to live for and something to go on with. Loving kindness leads him in his journey towards home. Loving kindness is what lifts him up when he falls. And all of us, brothers, and all of us, sisters, have had our times when we have failed. And why are we still here? Loving kindness. loving kindness comforts him. And that's why we feel it so strong right now. Loving kindness. When he is weak, it is loving kindness that finds strength for him. When he is going through the valley of the shadow of death, the reason he can say, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And where God is loving kindness. There you come. There you come. And then when we get through and we cross over Jordan and we face death and we've conquered death and we walk on the other side, what meets us on the other side? Loving kindness. Loving kindness gives us a new robe. Loving kindness puts shoes on our feet. Loving kindness crowns us with a crown of life. Loving kindness, because God is love and God is kind. And he doesn't give us our just deserves. Somebody say, I know that. Come on now, be honest. Say, God ain't give me what I deserved. If God had gave me what I deserved, I'd be lost and on my way to hell now. But loving kindness has kept me. Loving kindness has escorted me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mark it up, friend. It's loving kindness. Now, look, he said, when you look at these two beautiful words and they're wedded together, David says, now look, they're better than life. He does not tell us what life is worth or what loving kindness is worth. That's something that you cannot value. If you go to the Taj Mahal, there's somebody who can take words and describe it and take figures and calculate its worth. If you go to the sea, and the last big ship that I seen was Queen Elizabeth, the second or whatever it was, that new liner, and what a ship. I would have no way of calculating its worth or what it took to build it or what it will bring in 1 year to its owners. I have no way of doing that, but somebody can. Somebody can tell you to the penny what it cost. Labor, hours, material, everything. Because man can value almost everything that he possesses. But there's one thing that escapes his value. What value do you put on kindness? And what value do you put on love? And when you wed the two, love and kindness, and then when you put the word thy in front of it, in fearing there that God, it's God, thy loving kindness, David said, thou art my God, and thy loving kindness is better than life. Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I wouldn't want to face 2005 or 2006 or however further I've got to go if I didn't expect to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, I would faint. But because I can face tomorrow is because I know that somewhere in tomorrow I'll find the mercy drops of heaven. And I'll find the kindness. And not only the kindness, but the loving kindness of God. When I'm weak, He'll make me strong. When I'm down, He'll pick me up. When I'm wrong, He'll work with me till I'm right. When I'm blue, He'll give me a song. When I don't know which way to go, He'll speak to me to the right, to the left. Whatever I need, He's there. What supplies it? Loving kindness. So the psalmist says, it's better than life. Amen. Better than life. Better than that, he says. It's better than life. It's better than whatever you feel like life is worth. God's loving kindness is better than that. Whatever you say life is, God's loving kindness is better than that. Amen. For the psalmist said, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Living is important. Living is valuable. And we'll do anything we can to keep living. Amen. That's right. Come on. Come on. A sinner will sacrifice his wealth and honor and pleasures, friends. He'll do all of it to save his life. The doctor tells you you need to move to Arizona for your health. You'll say goodbye to friends, to occupation, to house, and to everything else because you want to live. But David said there's a loving kindness that is better than that life. If you will do that just to keep this life, David said there's a life that's better than that. Am I preaching to somebody that don't care? Then let me get your attention again. If you're going to struggle and you're going to work and you're going to and work hour after hour after hour to get a little bit of life, if you're going to give yourself and all of a sudden you're going to find yourself up in age and all you've got is a handful of dollars, you're going to call that life? You've already lost your family because you squandered life. You've already lost your children because you squandered life. You've already lost your friends because you squandered life. And then you're telling me that that's all there is to life? No, my friend, there's more to that. Why don't we look at life and ask ourselves what life's value really is? I tell you what I would rather have. I would rather get up in the morning and look into the face of a smiling child than I would go out and look into the face of a $100 bill. That's right. I would rather have the hug of my little grandbabies, amen, than to go out and say, man, I just made a killing today. I feel like I'm living. No, my friend, money cannot take the place of what loving kindness is in a human heart. You let a human heart lose its taste for loving kindness. You let it get void of kindness. You let it get void of love. You're not living. You're dying. I don't care what house you live in. I don't care how big your home is. I don't care how much money you knock down a year. If at the end of that year all you've got to do is to hold up a wad full of money, you're not living. You're existing. There's something better than life. It's God's loving kindness. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. You may not do it, but you'll do it. You'll do it. You may not get people to stop working to come to church. You get sick enough, you'll stop working. You may not be able to get him to stop for church fellowship, but you tell him he's got 6 months to live. Watch him stop working. All of a sudden, life is more. Somebody shout amen. Let the doctor tell you you got 6 months to live and watch you change your life. Watch you change your life. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about you. Watch you change your life. Because life does not consist in the abundance of things that man possesses. Life is not in the material things that we grasp. Life is loving kindness. Can you say you live without showing kindness? Are you the kind of a guy that kicks every dog you meet? Is there no kindness in you? Are you just out for old number one and you don't care who you hurt as long as number one gets ahead? Are you that kind of a person that just really don't care if your kids love you or not love you as long as you're making the almighty dollar? Have you lost your sense of the value of kindness? Is there anything that you love more than yourself? Amen. One day you'll wake up, your children will be growing. Your wife will look at you and say, who in the world are you? I thought I knew you. But then she'll look at you and she'll square her shoulder and say, but you're not the guy I married. You know why? Because when you courted her, you had a lot of kindness. And you had a lot of love. But then life, you say. Life that demands that I do it. Life that demands that I get it. Life that demands that I make it. Life that demands that I forget everything that I've once held valuable to me and press on until I can give them something when I'm dead. What good is it when you leave them a house full of nothing? And they look and say, well, Mom and Dad never loved me. What good is it, my friend, when you leave them a manifold treasure and you end up dividing your family because they're going to fight over your stuff? Wouldn't it be better to take this psalmist's word and say, it's better than life. I'm going to leave you something money can't buy. I'm going to leave you a memory of a mother that loves you and was kind to you. I'm going to leave you a memory of a dad that loved you and was kind to you. Wouldn't it be better to leave a legacy of loving kindness than it would be to leave them a 50,000, 100,000, or a half a million and watch them go to hell in a rowboat trying to spend the money that you left them, which wasn't a blessing, but rather a curse? You don't have to help me preach. Let's talk about something that's better than life. Let's talk about it. Let's see if we put it on a scale. He chooses the richest gift that man has, life. And he says, this is the best. Life is the best. You're living. That's the best gift God can give you. You're alive. But then he said, I want to tell you that that's the best gift in God's book is life. He breathed into man and made him a living soul. But now David takes another look. David takes another look at life. And while he takes that other look at life, He said, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And a soul doesn't need marrow and fatness. That's your body that cries out for substance. But the soul doesn't need bread. It doesn't need water. What does it need? David said, I can get just as full. My soul can be just as satisfied as my body. You give my body stuff to eat, and after a while I'll say, I'm not hungry. I don't want no more. I know that seems amazing, doesn't it? That a man can ever say, I don't want no more. But that, you know, that's natural. There comes a time when you say, I don't want no more. David said, my soul is that satisfied to where I can look around at this world. I can say, I don't want it. I don't want that. Take that away. Just give me God. I want God. I want His loving kindness. I want God. I want God to be good to me. David is a good example to look at when it comes to life. The first thing that you see, he was a splendid specimen of physical energy. David was full of life. You run through a troop, leap over a wall. Amen. Take on a lion and a bear in hand-to-hand combat. Wipe out a giant with a sling. Amen. Fight the enemies of Israel and not worry about it. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. This is his own words. He could tell you that by God and through God, he could do anything. There wasn't anything that he was afraid to try. That man was full of life. But he says, your salvation is better than life. Yes. I can enjoy a good battle, he says. But when the battle's over, that doesn't compare. My strength that didn't wane in the battle is nothing to compare with your salvation, because it was you in your loving kindness that was my buckler and my shield, the keeper of my head. David said, I could win the battle because you were fighting it. I could leap over a wall because you gave me the power. I could run through a troop because you strengthened my arm that it didn't get weary. David knew that there was something better than life, and it was God's loving kindness. We're not talking about somebody who doesn't understand. David had a magnificent intellect. He has a poet and a singer, a prophet. Amen. He could sing and sing and write songs until he got the name the sweet singer of Israel. He could touch his harp with such delicate string plucking until the devil, that old trying spirit that was upon Saul, would flee away at the sweet music of David. David was an intellect. He wrote psalms. He wrote music. He wrote orchestra music. He wrote choir music. David was an intellect. But what does this great man of all this wisdom say? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Somebody say amen. And this man had a heart. His heart was showing in a love for his friends. And when it came to Jonathan, it was the model love for a man for a man. And it wasn't as some homosexual preachers have got up in the pulpits of America and said, see, David had homosexual tendencies. He loved a man, and that love surpassed the love of a woman. That's nonsense. That's devilish doctrine. David could not be anointed of the Holy Ghost and have any sort of lust in his heart. Somebody help me preach. But he could love. He loved like nobody else could love. Till they were knitted together. Till nothing could break their love. This man that could love and feel this kind of love and devotion in this life, yet he says, knowing the love of Jonathan, knowing the love that he had for his country, knowing the love that he had for everything that he'd done for God, he'd done with a zeal, but yet David looked at the life that he had lived and he said, wait a minute, though all of that is good, and I've wrote my psalms and I've wrote my songs and I've known love, yet, Lord, thy loving kindness is better than life. There's something that is better than life. Come on, church. Come up this way and say amen. Amen. When you're struggling, not wondering why you should live, when you're ready to throw up your hands in that dark corner and say it's not worth it, I want you to know when life gives you the pits, when you trip and you go down, when you're flat on your back and you don't think you can get up, when you've lost your last dollar and you don't know where the next one's coming from, when the world has stripped you of your glory, when there's nothing else for you to go on for, lift up my head, let your head be lifted up, and let your heart begin to look higher, for the loving kindness of God is better than life. Hallelujah. You say, no, I don't believe it. I'd rather be a millionaire. Well, we're not going to ask a novice to tell you. We're going to ask David. But since I qualify as a 62, galloping towards 63, and I've got gray hair and a bulging waistline, I'm qualified to speak. After 40 years of with the Lord, after walking with Him 40 years, after fellowshipping Him 40 years, I want to tell you what I found out in 40 years. His loving kindness is better than life. Yes. Yeah. I've been there when some of His good men have gone home. I've been there when they told me, and knowing that they faced death, and they were asking God, said, if you want me to live, I'll live. If you want me to, I'll live. I've heard them. But then I've seen them get down to the place where they just say this, I wouldn't turn my hand for for the difference. Listen to the great Apostle Paul when he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen to him as he said, I'm in a great strait. I'm caught in this dilemma. I want to stay with you, which is life. But I want to depart and be with the Lord, which is gain. What is Paul saying? He said, God's loving kindness is better than life. To die and depart is gain. You say, no, Brother Sutherland, you're just trying to put a message together. No. No, there have been martyrs, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of martyrs. Men crucified, sawn asunder, ripped apart by dogs, eaten by lions. Help me preach. Lit like a fire, burnt alive at the stake, tied in a chair as the tide rose, and saying all you have to do is recant. Recant, we'll cut the ropes and you can live. And they say, no, no, Jesus is sweeter to me than life. What are all those dying testimonies worth? What is the value of them? Let me tell you what they're saying. They're saying with the psalmist David, thy loving kindness is better than life. Let me put it in modern English. Let me tell you just how we would say it. Jesus, you're worth more to me than life itself. If given a chance to keep life and lose you, Lord, I want to always see that your loving kindness is better than life. Somebody shout amen. Amen. If I must choose between your loving kindness and a job, and the job has great opportunity for growth and financial blessings, and I can just see myself in a few years being fixed and having life made, and it's going to cost me you, Lord, I want to choose you, for thy loving kindness is better than life. Somebody help me preach. You begin to understand what I'm trying to preach to you tonight. There's some things that you need to look at. Let a gray-haired old man tell you something, young man. Let me tell you something. After a while, those things that you think are valuable are only going to be pebbles on the beach of time. Somebody shout amen. Amen. After a while, when you've done everything you can do and you've won every trophy you can win and you've done everything that you think life is really all about, when you've climbed your highest mountain, when you've bagged your biggest deer, when you've built your biggest home, when you've made your biggest year of all, when you've got it all, then take a look around and ask yourself, what have you got if you don't have God's loving kindness? Are you going to take any of it to hell? No, my friend. I've buried the rich along with the poor. And I'll tell you what the rich take with them, only what the poor allow them. Vividly in my mind, and I've told you before, I hear the words of that young man who this backslidden holiness preacher's daughter had raised in a wicked city. She taught him about drug dealing. She taught him to go out and enjoy life. She said, I never was allowed to do anything when I was at home. Go out and have fun. Go out and live. Go out and live, what she told him. Just go out and live. He did. Before he ever got to 20, he was on the sidewalk of Louisville with his blood smearing the sidewalk. His last words as his knees buckled under him in a bad drug deal was, tell mom I loved her. He died lost because of that mother that he sent his, I hope it haunts her. That's living. That's life. His friends came by his casket. I watched them as I stood there. They reached in his pocket. They pulled out a pack of cigarettes and pulled his mattress over and stuck them down there and said, you'll need those when you get where you're going. I seen them take their marijuana joints and stick them down in there and said, you'll probably need that too. I've seen them take their beer that they packed into the church and put down in their pockets and stick it down in there. Said, you may have to have this for the party you're going to have. None of those boys, none of those girls, nobody there except for just a few knew anything about what goes on in hell. And I could have told them, if they would have listened to me, I would have told them, and I tried to tell them, those things won't make it. They'll rot right there in that casket. His soul is going to go to hell, and in hell he'll remember all of that so-called life, and he'll regret every minute of that life. You think that's life? I'm going to tell you something better than that life, and that's the loving kindness of the Lord. I'm going to tell you it's better than life. Glory to God. I said it's better than life. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. You think that that's really living because you can cuss when you get mad. You think that's really living because you can pitch a fit anytime you want to. You're being a bad example to your children. You're being a bad example to your neighbor. And when you die with all of that living that you've done, remember, God's going to bring you into judgment for every deed you've done in this body. Every deed, every word, you're going to give an account for it. And you say, well, I'm just living. Yeah, you're just living. But let me tell you something, my friend. There'll be a day when you'll look up in hell. You'll look up in hell. You remember the rich man in hell, don't you? He lifted up his eyes in hell. He had lived. The Bible describes his life. Listen to it. He was rich. He fared sumptuously every day. He was dressed. He was dressed in scarlet. He was up there. He had it. But now he's in hell. And you know how destitute he is? He can't get one kindness from the other side. There's no love from the other side. He can see on the other side. He sees Abraham over there. He sees Lazarus there. He sees the bubbling brook there. There must have been a fountain right there next to where the beggar and Abraham was, because the man said, just let him dip his finger. Just let him dip his finger in that water and let him come and bring it to me. And let him lay it on my tongue. Just a kindness. That's all I want. I don't want a big reward. Just a kindness. Can't you give me one kindness? You're getting as much kindness as you had in life. Remember when you fared sumptuously, he wanted your crumb, and you wouldn't give him your crumb. Now you want a drop, and you won't get a drop, because whatever you sow in this life, you're going to reap in the life to come. So the psalmist is right. It's better to live a life of loving kindness. It's better to have enough of God's life in you that you can be kind and loving. And you can be. If you're experiencing the loving kindness of God, it won't be long till you'll have enough of it to give away. And Jesus knew it, because it was him who said to us, love your enemy. And if he didn't give you enough love to do that, how could he ever expect us to do it? But he knew if we stayed with him, our cup would be full and running over. And we'd have enough loving kindness to be kind. If your enemy hunger, help me preach, feed him. If he's naked, clothe him. Overcome evil with, what is it, church? Good. What is good if it's not kindness? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Well, if I was out preaching, you know, like some of these evangelists, I would apologize and tell you, I'm sorry I didn't get in and get it any higher than what it's got. I'm not worried about getting high, and I'm not worried about anything else. I gave you a dump truck to sort out. You've got more than you can chew. You're going to take some of this home. Because when you sorted through your life, is there anything that you could imagine that's better than life? And I want to say with the psalmist, I vote with him. Thy loving kindness is better than life. To lose that is to die for sure. To keep his loving kindness until we do die is only to live. But to lose his loving kindness and make God your enemy is to die now and die again after a while. Because every man who isn't saved will die the second time. And to die the second time is to be put so far away from God that you can never get back. You won't ever be able to get back. Just like he said to the rich man, there's a great gulf fixed so that those that are with you that would come over here cannot. And those that are here with us, they can't get over there. After a while, it becomes irreparable. And the thing that separates us is loving kindness. And this is in closing. Sister, is Sister Bev around? No? She gone? All right. Somebody come get me a song. And I want to just close with this. If this is gospel, listen to me. He said to those that will go to hell, he said, and when I was sick, you didn't visit me. And when I was in prison, you didn't come to me. And when I was naked, you didn't clothe me. And when I was hungry, you gave me no meat. And they said, when, Lord? When did we see you and we treated you that way? And then he's going to look around. You know what he's going to do? You know what he's going to do? Can I tell you what he's going to do? Oh, come on. Let me tell you. You got time for me to tell you? He's going to point. We'll say Brother Barry is the least of God's children. And he'll say, and when you didn't do it to the least of these, my little ones, you didn't do it to me. He said, and now depart from me. I never knew you. And what was missing? Loving kindness. For what is giving somebody a drink but kindness? What is giving somebody something to eat but kindness? What is taking your coat off and giving it to somebody else that's cold but kindness? And what is it that motivates us to do those kind acts if it's not God first loving us? For we love Him because He first loved us. And when you find your bowels of compassion being clamped down and said, no, I had to work hard. Let them get a job and work like I did. And Jesus will tell us, the poor you have always with you. You can do them good anytime you want to. You don't have to have God to speak to you to do it. You are to have a kindness in your heart to do it. Amen. Let me tell you about my last episode at Kroger's. Can I? I knew you'd want me to. I knew I was getting ripped off. I knew it. I knew I was getting ripped off. I knew this guy was just handing me a line. But rather than offend him, I'm going to give him something that his conscience will have to live with. He had a little can of thing. He said, this is a can of pennies right here. He said, my mother's waiting out there. I knew she wasn't. He said, I've got to go and get this job done. He said, as soon as I leave here, he said, all I want is $5. And I got $5 worth of pennies right here. I knew there wasn't $5 worth of pennies there. But I gave him $5. I'd leave that much money on the table for a tip. I would. So I was standing there next to the little change counter down at Kroger's. I took his lid off and poured him in. $2.61. Like I said, I gave that much difference to a tip. To a waiter who wasn't worth 2 cents. Because I didn't want to tell them leaving and say, those Christians, you can just count on those Christians. They never leave a tip. Somebody say amen. So I got ripped off. dollar and something. But I sent him on his way, and one day he'll regret that he ever ripped a preacher off. But he'll never be able to say that that preacher wasn't kind. You hear me? What is better? What is better? It's better to suffer wrong that God may get the glory than it is to throw a fit and embarrass everybody in the store. Somebody shout amen. I want to be an old-time Christian, don't you? Let's stand. They're going to come and sing. Somebody said that's another one of those long-winded duration messages. But, you just have to bear with it, because every once in a while, as pastor, I feel like I real need to preach. Tonight I didn't want to run. I wanted to preach. I want to try to get you to come up a little higher. Which is best, to stay on this low plane and try to get alive? For he that seeketh to save his life shall surely lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So I want to ask you, what value do you put on that life that you're trying to save? Or would we better lose it and say, thy loving kindness is better than life? Somebody say amen. Come on, church. What did I preach on tonight? What was my title? Better than life. Do you believe it? Don't say amen if you don't, because you're not telling the truth. But if you believe it, you know it's worth it. It really is. Let's come around this altar and pray.